Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Good afternoon. The Golden Knights organization announced this morning that we've relieved head coach Gerard Gallant and assistant coach Mike Kelly from their coaching duties with our team. We would like to thank both men for their contributions during their time here. Together, we shared some real special moments over the course of their time as coaches. We'd also at this time like to welcome Peter DeBoer as the next coach of the hockey club. We're excited with the skill set that he brings to this job, what he can do for our team. With respect to what was behind the decision, as a manager, sometimes you have a feeling that something isn't the way you need it to be or want it to be. We feel we've underperformed a little bit, and certainly that's not to pile out at the feet of Mike and Gerard, but sometimes you feel a change is needed. So that was what went into the decision. Like anything we do, we try to do what we genuinely believe is in the best interests of the Golden Knights organization, and that's what we've done in this case.
Dr. Hockey.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. I'm Dr. Jay Calvert, and once again, on a Wednesday afternoon, I am here with Dr. Jason Berkley. Jason, what's going on?
What's going on, Jay? We got some big news today.
We have big news. Like, what? Did you see this coming?
I don't think anybody saw this coming. I was doing my thing, and my friend sent me a text message.
Wait. You were doing your thing? I don't want to hear about, we don't want to hear about that on here.
No. All my thing is none of your business. But
and then what happened? How did you find out?
I get a text message from my friend saying, I think that Gerard Gallant got fired from the Golden Knights. And I thought he was goofing around. I checked the dates on April 1st.
Yeah, like, what's the deal with that?
So I guess apparently the management is not happy with him. Now, you're talking about a guy that won the Jack Adams Trophy 2 years ago.
Right.
Took a total group of misfits and not unknowns, but misfits and a pieced together, basically Frankenstein of a team, if you will, and took him to the Cup Finals. You know, last year didn't have a great season, whatever, but they're still now this season in contention, and he was actually voted to be the division coach for the All-Star game. I don't know what they're expecting. I mean, if they say they want to win a cup, fine, but you got to give the guy a chance. And I think this is a stupid move. Stupid.
I have no clue who made this decision. It has to be McPhee, right?
No, it's McCrimmon. The general manager.
What is the deal?
Kelly McCrimmon is the general manager for the Vegas Golden Knights, and I think he just felt the team should be doing better. I mean, here's the thing: the team is in playoff contention.
Okay? For sure.
They are. I think it's like, third or fourth or whatever it is overall in potential scoring chances. Or maybe even first. I don't know. They're up there in the top five for sure. They're only 22nd in goals scored. So there's something that's going on that they're not able to finish the deal. Goaltending isn't doing great. But here's the thing: I don't care which coach it is. If you don't give them the players, it's on the owner and the GM. Don't blame the coach, especially a coach like Gallant,
right?
Who did a good job in Florida. They basically threw him on the sidewalk like Lewis Winthorpe when he got kicked out of the bank. Made him get his own taxi cab.
That's a great 80s movie reference.
And now gets sacked when his team is still a good team in playoff contention. But I think the problem with the Golden Knights was not coaching. It's not their offense. It is on their defense. Teams in general, when it comes down to being able to score, especially 5-on-5, forget about power play and special teams right now. When it comes to 5-on-5 play, you've got to be able to have guys that can hold the puck in the blue line and can potentially score or have a run the play from the blue line, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. So when you're talking about your two top players on the blue line that each only have 10 points this season, that's not good.
Yeah. No, I think that they are having a year that is rickety, to say the least. It's fits and starts. They go on a run for four wins. They look like they're playing well together.
They have four losses in a row right now. And I mean, that triggered, I don't know, but Shea Theodore and Nate Schmidt are like the only guys producing any semblance of anything really on the blue line for them, offense wise. And I don't know if maybe Peter DeBoer, who's their new coach, has some type of like secret, he's going to, you know, give Joe Boo another shot of rum or something to get the defense going. I don't know what's going to take, but I don't think you can put another good coach in there with a similar type of system and expect a different result. I don't know. I don't think that's the right move. I think you need to go out there. If you're Vegas, you keep Gallant as your head coach. You go after and try to get a top defenseman or do something to get a defenseman or two if you can. And I think the goaltending gets better, and I think your offense gets better. That's why I look at it.
Yeah, it's really a shame. I think Gerard Gallant is an amazing coach and has been doing very well. There's a lot of teams that are going to want to snarf him up right now, you know?
I've already been saying that his old line mate on the wings, Steve Yzerman, may have been on the phone consoling him and said, hey, tell you what, two or three months, I'll tell you what, we're going to make a change here. Don't do nothing. Sit tight. And, you know, we'll fly you in.
Absolutely.
You come back.
Absolutely. So
that's my thought process. I think you're going to start from scratch with it. I don't think Blashill's going to be fired at the end of the season or until the end of the season. I think Gallant will be the new coach. And listen, obviously they may want him in Seattle because he did a good job with the first expansion team. But I think he's been there and done that. I don't think he wants to do it again personally, but we'll see.
I don't know. We'll see. But I got to tell you, that's a shock to me.
Total shock.
And then we don't even know why DeBoer got fired in the first place, other than it was a hockey decision, quote unquote. But why he got hired here, you know, it's not like he's killing it with the Sharks either. You know, it's like
the thing is that the NHL in the last, I don't want to say maybe 5-10 years, has kind of been almost like musical chairs for some of these coaches.
Yes.
You know, Mike Babcock leaves the Wings, goes to Toronto. Toronto's gone. He's out of Toronto. DeBoer goes to from New Jersey over to San Jose. Now he's in Vegas. You take Peter Laviolette; he's in Philadelphia. It's Alain Vigneault from Vancouver to New York. It's just the same thing. It's like the same guys in different cities. And the only one that I would not put in that category would be a Barry Trotz, because he was with Nashville forever, and obviously they made a change, but that was a different situation with Washington. I can't blame them for that.
Yeah, they do. They move around, and yeah, it's kind of wacky.
It is, and it doesn't make any sense, because I don't think, I don't think Vegas was in fact a coaching problem.
No, I don't think it's a coaching problem at all. I think it's a real shame that they fired Gerard Gallant.
Yeah,
you know, and I have some connection to that franchise. You know,
you do. But here's my thought process: is what is it they say? One man's garbage is another man's treasure.
Totally, 100%.
Yep. So yep. I'm looking forward to that. We'll see where he goes, and I'm hoping he comes back to Detroit.
Well, I hope you're right. That would be great for the Wings, man.
Yep.
Well, since we get to talk about your team having its dreams fulfilled, I think the Penguins had their dreams fulfilled last night with the return of Sidney Crosby. And interestingly, I only want to talk about the Penguins, not because I'm a fan, but because they are currently, they're winning like crazy. They've had, since Crosby went out, they had an incredible record.
They held the fort down for him, that's for sure.
Evgeny Malkin's been averaging, you know, a point and a half a game. I mean, he really stepped up. You know, this is a guy who, you know, Malkin's he's a huge, amazing goal scoring guy. But, you know, he even said last night, he said, they interviewed him and they said, what do you think about Sid coming back? He goes, look at our team. He goes, we get Sid back, everybody's able to do more things. It's like, he said, it's just great to have him back because it's such a big deal.
Is he Sid, or is it Sid that still should be recovering from abdominal surgery?
No, he really took his time because the team was doing well. They did not they did not force him back. He had something called a sports hernia, okay?
Please describe that for the folks at home and play along.
Okay, so this to me is a Pittsburgh diagnosis or even a Pennsylvania diagnosis. You don't hear about sports hernias anywhere else with guys getting these fixed. And I don't know if it really works or it doesn't work, but it seems to be the guys that get it done, it does help them. So instead of it being a true hernia where there's an actual tear, what a hernia is when there's a separation of the fascial layers of the abdominal wall, the internal contents of the abdomen literally poke through this hole and cause pain and irritation. And that's why guys often get hernias in their groin and into their along their spermatic cord, and women get femoral hernias, and you can get umbilical hernias. There's a lot of different hernias, but a sports hernia, this term, which is uniquely Pittsburgh and Pittsburghese in my world, is where you get no tear in the abdominal fascia, but you get a seemingly very, very significant weakness in the groin, along where the abdominal wall inserts kind of into the pelvis bone, and they fix it. They literally go in and fix it like a hernia. They put mesh, they sew it up, they do all the things that you do for a hernia, but it's not actually a true hernia. Crazy, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a pseudo hernia, as they say.
I don't know. One of the kickers for the Steelers had this diagnosis, and me and Tony Harrison did I was like a second year or something. We did a sports hernia on this guy, and he was out for about 6 to 8 weeks, but then he went back and he was better. He came back to clinic and was like, yeah, no, it's great. No problem. And he was able to get back to his job kicking for the Steelers. And, it just was odd to me. And that's what Sid's diagnosis was, sports hernia. And he had the operation. I'm sure he had it at UPMC by the same guys I trained with. And he's back on the ice, and obviously they waited, because, I mean, that's something that, like, hernia surgery hurts. It's very painful. And, unless they might have done it laparoscopically from the inside. Sometimes you can go in through the space between the abdominal contents and the abdominal wall, what's called the preperitoneal space. The abdominal contents are in the sac called the peritoneum, and then the abdominal wall, the musculature, is separated by a nice thick layer of fascia. And they can go in that layer laparoscopically and fix it with scopes and through small incisions. And if you had that, then he's probably, very, very much recovered. So we don't know how it was repaired. I don't have all the details. I could do a little searching and maybe make a call or two, but I'm really glad that he's doing so well. And he looked great last night. He was in position. He was moving fast. There was a couple of moments where he, had huge bursts of speeds that are not available to somebody who's in pain. So I don't know if it's good news for the Penguins. They seem to be doing just fine without him. But Malkin was really, he was very complimentary. And he kind of said, of course we're happy to have him back. Are you kidding? Look at what we did tonight. I mean, they were playing the Wild, so, it wasn't like they were up against, the Bruins. But they're up against the Bruins tomorrow night, so that should be pretty cool.
Well, good for him. I still hate the Penguins.
Yeah, I I knew you would finish off with that, so I appreciate that, and I'm glad that it continues to get under your skin and drive you crazy.
Well, real quick, I want to just touch on real quick the Tkachuk Cassian thing real quick. I know that it's happened a couple days ago, but Cassian got basically, in my opinion, blindsided by Tkachuk, who left his skates and kind of hit a blindsided hit on him.
Yep.
Behind the net. Wasn't even really going for the puck. It was just flat out just going in to hit him. And Cassian responded by grabbing Tkachuk by the back of the collar like a literal rag doll and tossed him around.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and I think it was well deserved. And Cassian got a 2-game suspension. Now, I have a problem with that because we've seen guys that have been hit in the head and, because they're a first-time offender or whatever, getting 1 game or whatever else. This wasn't a 2-game. I mean, yeah, okay, he may have gone a bit overboard. May have been a bit much. Fine. He was pissed, and I don't blame him. But I don't think that Tkachuk should have been gotten off scot-free on that.
No, I agree with you. I mean, it was, but you know, it was. I think it was an okay hit. It wasn't like it was totally egregious, but
he left his feet.
He did leave his feet. That makes it a non-okay hit.
Watch the replay. He left his feet. Cassian really couldn't protect himself. I don't think he was able in a position to be able to protect himself. He didn't see it coming, and you know, I don't think that it was an appropriate hit.
Like I said, there was no penalty call. I'm not crying about the hits. It's hockey. It's a game of hockey. It's rough. I thought they're a little bit on the blind side, but at the end of the day, I've laid big hits like that. I've been hit like that. But two times is more than enough. You play with fire, eventually you're going to get burned. And he messed with the wrong guy, and I don't think he realizes that we're in the same division. And have a great memory.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that in the hockey, and unfortunately that this one didn't get caught. And in fact, what did happen is Cassian got penalized, and then the 3-3 tie turned into a 4-3 Calgary win, putting Calgary in first place in the Pacific Division.
Yeah, no, it had a lot of implications in that one play.
Yeah, it is a big problem, so, right?
But that's just my two cents.
Yeah, I mean, look at Calgary and Edmonton, or you know, they're battling for back and forth for that first place spot.
And here's the thing, not for nothing, we got to have a Canadian team go deep in the playoffs this year. I mean, we got to have that. I mean, it's something that I think that the NHL needs, the fans need it, and certainly Canada needs it. So, I mean, it's all around, it's something that has to happen.
Well, we'll see, man. I think if you had to guess which Canadian team's going the distance, who would you pick?
I'd probably pick Edmonton right now.
So would I.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
And, of course...
May not win the cup, but I'd love to see him get to the conference finals, maybe even to the cup final.
I think they have
I think it's going to be Colorado with you, at least from the Western Conference. I think it's going to be getting in there. I think it's going to be Colorado getting into the cup finals. But
Colorado looks good, don't they?
They do.
I watched Nathan MacKinnon play a couple of games recently, and boy, is that guy good.
Yeah.
I mean, he is tough. I don't know how you can stop him.
I think they could put a Sakic jersey on him out there, and people wouldn't know the difference.
He's amazing.
That's how good he is. Yeah, yeah. So
he's having a great year.
He is, but it's listen. I mean, what would you do to see potentially see McDavid versus MacKinnon?
Oh, that'd be great.
You know, in the playoffs. I mean, that's something that would be a marquee matchup there.
That would be sick.
So, but yeah, I think it's gonna be. I think Edmonton has the best chance of any Canadian team this year coming into it, and. We'll see what happens, but I certainly think that Edmonton's overdue, and I think they deserve to go beat. But there's got to be a Canadian team. We can't just our friends to the north can't be shut out again.
But it's also a numbers game. I mean, look how many they don't have as many teams in Canada as we do in the States. I mean, it's not
right.
It's not that the Canadian teams are run any differently. It's all the same people as we all
know. No, I get that, but it's the quality of the Canadian teams this year. I think is the best that it's been. Probably in the last 10 to 15 years, collectively.
Yeah, I mean, the Habs are winning.
Habs are winning. Maple Leafs are still, you know, a good team.
For sure.
Calgary, Edmonton. You have Winnipeg is still kind of hanging around. I mean, Vancouver's, you know, better than they have been in the last, you know, few years. So, I mean, there's definitely not really a horrible weak spot or an awful team from Canada this year that people would point to and say, well, they're not going to have a chance. But I think Edmonton has the best chance of any of them to really kind of go deep this year. So,
well, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We're coming up on the All-Star break soon.
So, what do you think is going to happen with Gallant? A quick prediction. What are your thoughts?
My prediction is within 2 weeks, through the All-Star break or right after it, somebody gets fired and he gets the job.
Well, not somebody. I want to know a team that you think.
I don't know. He will have a job, though, within 2 to 3 weeks because he's that
somebody
good.
Somebody mentioned Dallas. And I said, why would Dallas do that? They're playing well, and even though the coach is an interim coach, they're not going to do that now when the team's playing well.
They might. I didn't know he's interim coach?
Technically, I guess, on a technical level, if you will. But my prediction for Gallant, I think he chills out the rest of the season. And in the offseason, he is brought on by Detroit.
That may be. That phone call has to happen now, though, because there are going to be people that are talking to him about moving their coaches. There's a couple of teams that could really use Gallant.
Maybe he doesn't want to at this point. Maybe he's like, you know what, I'm going to take a break, collect my thoughts. I don't want to get into New England, getting to know a bunch of new players yet. There's going to be a lot of changes in the offseason. And here's why I say that. Whoever is going to bring him on, especially if it's a team like Detroit or, you know, even Seattle, before the draft, they're going to want the new coach's input for their draft pick.
Yep.
The last thing they're going to want to do is hire a guy after the draft, which I obviously don't think would ever happen. And also, not for nothing, I don't know if a guy wants to come into a team like a Detroit or another bad team right now with that kind of hanging over him and expecting to be the results. I mean, what's the point? There's no point. You don't have the talent. You don't have the talent. The coach isn't going to make a difference with that kind of team. So why not ride it out the rest of the season with who you got? Tell him, say, Jerry, chill out till, you know, April 5th, 6th, whatever it is, and we'll have a press conference and you're good to go. That's what I think is going to happen. But we'll
see. You say that. I say hired shortly after the All-Star break. That's my prediction. We'll see.
All right.
All right, man. Well, that's a good little roundup. Let's pull it together for next week. There's also a possibility of a weekend podcast that we're brewing, so we'll see about that. But I think
we'll just see whichever coach gets fired next.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know,
this is the amount of coaches fired in the last few weeks, even
crazy.
Somebody posted, I think it was like eight coaches, I think, in the last 3 months, something like that.
Nobody's job's safe, man.
Nope,
they're not winning. That's
not.
That. And even if you are winning.
Well, maybe John Cooper. Careful.
Hey, listen. So Solani Steak Tavern this weekend. No messing around. John Blue, Pronger, Solani, you, me. We got a whole cadre of total buffoons showing up for this.
We actually have an actual line there and a defense and a goalie.
Absolutely. That's perfect. Yeah. Yeah. You're definitely the goalie.
No. Blue's the goalie. What are you talking about?
No. Blue doesn't make his own cut. Remember, he said you have to be 6 foot two or over.
Well, we're making an exception. I don't want to be goalie. I don't want pucks fired at my groin at Mach 4. So no thanks.
Blue's he's a skilled defenseman. He can play any position. That guy's amazing.
No.
Yeah, but he said you got to be over 6'2", otherwise they won't even look at you. And it's funny because I know a kid, one of the nurses, her kids plays on the Arizona State team with Mario Lemieux's kid, Austin. And he's like 5'9", and he's the goalie. And she's like, there's no chance for the NHL for him. He's really good, but he's 5'9", and that's that. And it is true. Those goalies, even in the AHL, are gigantic. It's a requirement. Well, man, I'll see you Saturday night.
Sounds good.
It's the Dr. Hockey Podcast signing off with your prescription for the NHL.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.